If it is true that the mosquito is the Minnesota state bird, it's also true that mosquito repellent is the Minnesota state perfume, at least in the summer months. Billions of mosquitoes breed in the state's 10 or 20,000 lakes and in its prolific ponds and wetlands. Like the plagues of ancient Egypt, these insects swarm across the land until finally cold weather replaces the threat of mosquito bite with the threat of frostbite. In the meantime, Minnesotans are a slap-happy people, swatting out a percussive beat on their own bodies. A winged insect of the family Culicidae, the mosquito is a tiny vampire. The female of most species is equipped with a long proboscis for puncturing skin and sucking the blood of mammals like Dr. America. Selecting their targets by sensing the exhalations of carbon dioxide that we breathe, they search for exposed skin. Then, as they pump blood out of us, they pump in anticoagulants and salivary enzymes that cause an itch. During these blood transfusions, people who won't give blood to each other discover that they will give it to mosquitoes. The mosquito is one reason why Americans, on the average, spend only 2% of their time outside. With rain and snow and dark of night, mosquitoes and flies and sunburn make us appreciate the beauties, or at least the comforts, of the great indoors. The mosquito, we like to think, is a pest. A pest is an animal that inhibits human activity, like picnics and baseball games and fishing. Unlike the pioneers who coped with insects like mosquitoes by wearing clothes that covered most of the body, modern Americans feel that they have a right to expose their skin without consequence. In this culture, therefore, Americans have devised numerous ways of dealing with pests. One is inaction, the stoic acceptance of the bite, an alternative that is almost un-American. A second method of dealing with mosquitoes is the sacrifice, in which one person takes most of the bites in the vicinity. A woman whose attractiveness is not unfortunately limited to humans, Mrs. America attracts mosquitoes like flies. Dr. America finds, therefore, that when he walks with her, he's relatively safe from harm, because she serves as bait for the blood-sucking bugs. Another method of pest control is segregation, which tries to limit the range of the pestiferous animal. In the Twin Cities, a mosquito control district tries to keep mosquitoes out of residential areas by trying to prevent their hatching. In the residential areas, the screen in the windows acts as a literal and symbolic device to screen out the unpleasantness of nature. The most popular way that Americans deal with so-called pests is the pesticide, which gives us liberty by giving them death. But most pesticides are contact killers, and the chances of killing a billion mosquitoes without killing ourselves are pretty slim. The last line of defense, therefore, is the repellent, which tries to prevent mosquito bites by confusing the mosquitoes. The most effective mosquito repellent is DEET, or diethyl tolunamide, which operates by interfering with the attraction mosquitoes feel for people. It is an example of better living through chemistry. Dr. America could imagine extending this idea of repellents to other creatures, maybe even to other human beings. Imagine, for example, a repellent for lawyers, or telephone solicitors, or people who bring loud TVs to family campgrounds. Imagine a repellent for your boss, or the office gossip. Imagine a shield against door-to-door salesmen and television advertising. Imagine, too, that other animals might want repellents of their own. Since human beings are the main cause of the extinctions and extractions of the natural world, endangered species, for example, might band together in a skunk works of their own to develop an effective people repellent. Now there's an idea that's truly repellent. From the American Studies Museum, this is Dr. America, buzzing in the ears of American culture.